Okay, Shalom Aleichem. So again, we are in Chovos HaLevavos, Shar Avodas HaElokim, Perek Shlishi, the third perek. In the Lev Tov, it's page Reish Ches. In the English edition, it's page 248. Okay. The Chovos HaLevavos is continuing his discussion. It's kind of like a long discussion with different philosophical detours on bringing together the two systems of Avodas Hashem, of serving Hashem. What do we mean by two systems? We mean there's the what we'll call the internally driven system and the externally imposed system, meaning there is a set of mitzvahs and averis that were handed to us. These are the things you must do. These are the things you must not do. And they come along also with their own set of motivations. If you do these things correctly, you'll be rewarded. If you don't do what you need to do, and if you transgress, you do the things that you shouldn't do, you'll be punished. So this is what he calls the He'ora HaTorah, what we're referring to as the externally imposed system. And then we have the internally driven system. This is what the Chovos HaLevavos has been building up the whole time, where a person really internalizes, senses everything that Hashem is doing for him, really develops a sense of indebtedness until that brings him to a desire, a drive, to connect with Hashem, to dedicate himself to Hashem. And the Chovos HaLevavos is analyzing the benefits of each system, or if you will, the pros and cons of one versus the other, seeing how the two blend together. And where he's also going to go with us is to show which is, so to speak, considered the better way of serving Hashem, if we'll put it that way, meanwhile. So now, in the third perek, he's going to be comparing serving Hashem motivated by a desire for reward and a fear of punishment versus serving Hashem just because of your sense of dedication, your sense of gratitude. So I want to begin on actually page Reish Tes. We already laid down the two sides. And we're going to start actually on Reish Pei Tes. Ushtei HaKnias Mishubachos. So he says, Ushtei HaKnias Mishubachos. Submitting yourself to Hashem in either of these two ways is great. Mevi'es El Derech HaTzala Bo'ilam HaMenucha. They bring a person to a good place in the next world. Ela, he does not leave it as two separate tracks, but rather the way he's going to set it up is one is a means, one is a stepping stone toward the other. One causes the other. It's a stepping stone. You step from one to the next. You begin with what we're calling the externally imposed system, and the Torah handed to us by Hashem, together with the whole system of schar va'onesh, of reward and punishment, and then you grow from there. That's the foundation, that's the basis, and you grow from there to the next level in which it turns it into something self-motivated, something internally driven. A person feels, coming from himself, a desire, an indebtedness, and a feeling like he passionately wants to dedicate himself to Hashem, to connect with Hashem, to dedicate his life to Him. So now he continues and says, "Zaknia shetia machmas se'oras asecha v'derech haraya." The submitting yourself to Hashem when it's driven by your own seichel, when it's internally driven, is kroiva erelikim uretzuya yoyser l'shiva panim. It is more cherished by Hashem. It brings a person closer to Hashem for seven reasons. Now, before we get into the seven reasons, I just want to to give a little perspective on what Chodesh Halavos is about to do. This is really the famous idea that is expressed already by Chazal and in other Sfarim, that serving Hashem in the derech of Schar V'Einish, of, you know, being motivated by, you want reward, you fear punishment, is not the highest level. There's a higher level where a person is ready to serve Hashem even without the consideration of reward or punishment. This is expressed in Pirkei Avos, right? Don't be like a servant who serves the master in order to be paid for it, but rather like a servant who serves the master, he just feels dedicated to him even without the promise of pay. Now, we have to preface this with a very, very important preface, because it almost sounds like, when you see Chazal, and you see Mesiyas Yishar, and Chodesh Halavos, it almost sounds like they're undermining serving Hashem, the anticipation for reward, and with the fear of punishment. Now let's note that Chodesh Halavos himself, before starting this discussion, he says that Shtehen Meshubachos, both of them are very great. But he's going to go on to say how really what you want to get to is the second level. But we can't make the mistake of putting down the first level. And certainly we can't make the mistake of just skipping that rung. This is something that the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and others have said, that I have to understand that a person who spends his entire life serving Hashem because of his excitement for reward and because of his fear of punishment is a very, very great person. A person who can live with that reality his entire life is head and shoulders above the rest. We shouldn't make the mistake. This is something common in Ruchnius, that when Sfarim, or sources, Chazal, introduce us to much more sublime levels, that all of a sudden you think that, oh, the lower levels are just nothing. Chas v'shalom. We have to realize that Avodas Hashem provides us with levels and horizons without end. And the fact that there are infinite levels that we can reach do not take away the value of the lower levels, which are themselves very, very high. So this is very important to understand. Let's not skip the concept of reward or punishment in our service of Hashem. Let's not undermine it. And on the contrary, let's put it to a very great place. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that after all said and done by the various Musar Sfarim, a person who spends his entire life serving Hashem because he has his eyes, his sights set on Olam Haba, is a very, very great person. And a person who spends his whole life serving Hashem because of his fear of Gehenna is also a very, very great person. I'll note that today, for us, that the latter is not really supposed to be the main focus. It's supposed to be there in the background. We should not make ourselves oblivious to the prospect of Gehenna. But not the main focus. So now I want to spend a little bit of time on this. Let's appreciate that Hashem created us because He wants to give us chesed. Hashem created the entire Bria, the whole creation Hashem created because He wants to provide chesed to His Brias. Now that's a big, deep discussion, we're not really going to get into the full discussion right now. But that is the basis for our discussion now. That Hashem created everything that He created in order to give chesed. Now, Hashem set that up to different degrees. Not everything was created equal. The cat, the ant, the fish are all recipients of Hashem's chesed, but at lower levels. And Hashem put at the top of this pyramid is the Yisrael who He wants to kiviyochol give everything that there is to give. And this is way beyond anything that we can comprehend. We have to appreciate this, that this is the reason for our existence, is because Hashem wants to have the nachas of giving us the pleasure that He has in mind for us. And that's really the way the Mesiyas Yesharim starts his sefer. He starts his sefer by saying that the basis, the foundation for being a servant of Hashem, for serving Hashem, is to have a very, very clear picture of where we are headed, of what the what our purpose is, and where every day of life and every act that we do is getting us. And the way he puts it is, what is that purpose? What is the finish line that we have to have our eyes focused on throughout our lives? Is, he says, Ha'adam lo nivra elo li'saneg al Hashem. Man was created to enjoy the delights of being connected with Hashem. And shehu ha'tanug ha'godol v'mikol ha'tanugim v'aydunim she'yicholim nimotzei. He says, this is the greatest of delights that can possibly be. Now let's appreciate this. What quite is Hashem setting up for us? So sometimes, you know, it's a little bit hard to connect to. We're living in this world. And if you promise us, if you promise me $1 million, you promise me all kinds of material delights, that might get me going. But the promise of spiritual pleasure, the promise of being connected with Hashem in the next world, somehow doesn't really speak to me. So let's understand something. Try to think of anything you've enjoyed in your life. Try to think of anything you have enjoyed in your life. You know what? Let's do this a little differently. We'll draw on Rav Dessler here. Rav Dessler quotes a chazal. This, if you haven't heard this chazal of Rav Dessler, if you've heard it before, it's worth repeating. If you haven't heard it before, then really, we could say this whole shir, if you just come to hear this chazal, this is something you must hear once at least and have that in your mind. So if we'll just say that this shir was just to present you with this chazal, that's already worthwhile. Rav Dessler quotes Chazal. Chazal say, "Yafe sho'acha shekir asuach ba'ilam abo, yisa mikol chayir ilam azeh." One moment of pleasure in the next world is greater than all of the pleasures of life in this world combined. Rav Dessler says, you have to appreciate what that means. It doesn't just mean, try to think of the greatest pleasure you've ever experienced in your life. Try to think of it. The most fun, the greatest moment of your life. And to appreciate the Ilam Abba is greater than that. Rav Dessler said, no, that's not what it means. Chazal say, Mikol Chay Ilam Azeh, the pleasures of all of life in this world. He says, you have to think of it as follows. You have to think of all of your life. Think of all the pleasure you've enjoyed, all the different thrills of your life, in all their different forms. There was physical pleasure. There was emotional pleasure. There was all kinds of different pleasures that you've imagined. Try to take all those experiences and pack them into, I won't say a minute, because that's like just too, it's not really something you can latch onto. But let's say pack that into a half hour. A half hour of bliss. A half hour that you're told you're going to experience all these things in one half hour. Just in order to make it something tangible. That would be quite a half hour, wouldn't it? Rav Dessler says, that's still not kol chayir l'mazeh, that's still not the pleasures of all of life in this world, because you're only one person. What you have to do is, we're talking about all of life in this world. You have to do is now think of all the pleasures, of all the thrills, of all the joys that anyone in the world has experienced. Anyone in the world has experienced. Try to imagine that. All the people you perhaps looked at with envy, or the people you wouldn't even look at with envy because they're completely out of your frame of reference, people that you read about. And try to bring all that together into that little period of time. Again, we'll call it half an hour. And Rav Dessler says, even that is not exactly capturing it, because all of life in this world doesn't just mean in our times, but it means from the beginning of time. From the beginning of time. Everything, all the pleasure that's been experienced in this world, all the thrills that have been experienced in this world, from the little things to the big things, the greatest feasts that have ever been enjoyed, to the moment somebody heard that he won the sweepstakes for $50 million, to the moment that a certain president won the election, that a person was crowned king, that a scientist made the invention of the century, the discovery of the century, to a person being informed that he's going to win the Nobel Prize, try to bring all of these different experiences, and think of also all the different physical experiences, all of that packed together into one little time frame of half an hour. And you're told you are going to experience all of that. You're going to be given all of that. This is Kol Chaye Olam Hazeh. That is the pleasures of all of life in this world. And you're being told that that is all nothing compared to a moment of pleasure in the next world. Let's take this a little further and appreciate it more. Like we said before, sometimes a person thinks, all right, what does it really mean, the pleasures of the next world? So let's just make a simple equation. Anything you've enjoyed in this world, try to think of the things that you've enjoyed most. The pleasure that you had. Who orchestrated that pleasure? Who designed that pleasure? Who designed the taste in the best foods you've ever eaten? This is Hashem. Who created your palate? Who created the taste buds that were capable of enjoying them? Think of all the other pleasures and think, who is the one who actually designed that pleasure? It's not below Hashem to design pleasures, right? If you think of all the wonderful tastes that there are out there in nature and all the different forms of pleasure that a person can experience, and you think, who is the one who actually designed that? Yes, this is not below Hashem. It's not below Hashem. Hashem put his kiviyachol, his chachma, into creating forms of pleasure for us. So Hashem can come and tell you, you can rely on me. Don't worry. The forms of pleasure that you've experienced sound like, oh no, I only enjoy the physical. Hashem, I know that you are a completely spiritual. I just don't know if I'll be able to connect to that. Hashem says, no. Any of the physical experience that you've experienced, that was me. I authored them. I designed them. I created them for you, and I gave you the means of enjoying them. So I'm a maven in pleasure. I know how to cause you pleasure. I know how to provide you with enjoyment. And now, believe me, I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who created your capacity to pleasure. I'm the one who created all your tastes. I'm the one who made you like this more than that and made you enjoy this more than that. I gave you your taste buds. I gave you all the other means that you have of enjoying pleasure, emotional to physical, money, etc., luxuries. I'm the one who gave you the taste for all that. So you know what? I know how to design pleasure. I know how to orchestrate pleasure. And I'm telling you, for you, no, not for the Gadol Hadar who really just enjoys the Daf Gemara. I'm telling you that, believe me, all this is just a faint, faint experience so far from what I've really created for you. I'll say even more than that. Any pleasure that you experience in this world isn't really pleasure. You're in a body that completely dulls your experience of life. Anything that you're feeling now, anything that you're sensing now is very, very faint from what it really is. The body has a certain dulling effect on the neshama. And this world is not really the world of pleasure. The pleasures that you experience in this world are very, very far from the concept of pleasure. They're here because part of your function in this world requires pleasure, but it's kind of like a person who is given a very, very great job. So they give him an office that has a bar in it, and it has a coffee machine in it, which is really there not because the boss is trying to figure out what's the greatest way this person can enjoy, but because in order for him to do his job well, I have to provide these little gadgets. Any of the pleasures that we have in this world are that. The real pleasure, the real banquet hall, the real place that we're going to enjoy, Hashem says, oh yeah, yeah, don't get caught up. Don't sell yourself short for the little stuff. What I have waiting for you is unimaginable. And this is then, in the next world, once you shed that dulling effect of the body, and you're just the freed, the unencumbered neshama, then you're really capable of experiencing. Right? In other contexts, we've compared the experience of a person living in a body. It's like a person who's under 99% anesthesia, has a very, very faint sense of things that are going on around him, and thinks that this is the life. No, this is not the life. This is not the life. The real life, all this is really just a preparation for. And Hashem is waiting to see you enjoy this. Hashem is waiting to see you connect to, not to the little faint pleasures that Hashem is letting drizzle through the crack at the bottom of the bucket and that you're enjoying now in this world and thinking, wow, this is the life. No, no, Hashem says, wait till you connect to the real thing. And the real thing is once you actually connect to me. I right now am busy funneling these things down through all kinds of screens to give you a little bit of a taste in this world of pleasure. But the real thing, wait till you come straight to me and really just connect, really just plug into me. Then you'll know what pleasure really is. This is what Hashem has waiting for us. And a person, in every step of life, the Mesilas Yesharim tells us, this is where your sights should be. Is this bringing me closer to that pleasure, or is it distancing me from it? Is it going to intensify that pleasure, or is it going to diminish it? Every step you take in life should be with this in mind. And this is where your sights should be, on that very, very great pleasure that Hashem has destined for you, that Hashem is waiting for you at the end of the road. Now, we come back and we say, but one minute, how does that fit with everything we're being told here? See, not everything we're being told here, that, you know, there are higher levels, etc. Wait. If you have really, really, really learned to live with that anticipation, with that appreciation of the pleasure that Hashem is waiting for you, then we could you can use that as a stepping board and you could start moving to higher things, but that are still based on this. And I'll take it even a step further. The Ramchal and Derech Hashem actually brings it all together. He says, one minute, I'm telling you, Mesiyas Yesharim, that you should be so focused on this. Shouldn't you just be serving Hashem for its own sake? So the Ramchal says something amazing in Derech Hashem. He says, you're right, do it altruistically. Do it altruistically. Do it with the understanding that, what does Hashem want? Hashem's pleasure, kiviyachol, is that He's waiting to be able to see you enjoy what He prepared for you. What is that really? What that really is being bonded with Hashem. That is, Hashem is the source of all that pleasure. And just being bonded with Him is what provides you with that pleasure. So what Hashem is waiting for, He created these neshamas that He so cherishes, He so wants to see them succeed, and He is so waiting to see them enjoy, with the real capacity that He created for them, not just the capacity of the body which is so faint, but with that, the immense capacity of an neshama, with its ability to really enjoy. Hashem is waiting to see that. He says, you know what? Focus on providing Hashem, kiviyachol, with that nachas. I am pining to get to Elam Abba, not just because I'm going to enjoy it there, but because Hashem wants to see me there. Hashem wants to see me there. This is what's going to give Him nachas. Right? You could think of a mother who's busy preparing a whole suda. Her son is coming home. He's been away in yeshiva for 6 months, and he's coming home, and she's preparing a suda for the evening that he arrives, and she's busy thinking of all the different things that he likes. The whole suda is planned according to the different things that she knows that he loves, from the type of rolls that she prepares or buys, to the main course that she prepares, to the dessert, to the drinks that she's going to have out waiting for him. What's she waiting for? She's just waiting to see him come in, sit down, and really enjoy. And this is what Hashem wants also. Hashem wants to see you enjoying that. This is a neshama, a kiviyachol. It's a part of Him. And He cherishes it. And He's waiting to see it come back and reconnect with Him and enjoy all that. And therefore, yes, even when we talk about the higher levels, it's still based on the premise, it's based on the foundation of the understanding that Hashem created unimaginable pleasure for us, that Hashem has it waiting for us as soon as He pulls us back into His embrace, and Hashem is waiting for us to see it. And if we want to be loyal servants of Hashem and loyal children of Hashem, we want to provide Him with the pleasure. We want to provide Him with the pleasure of seeing us enjoy, kiviyachol. So, first, let's set our sights that way. Let's set our sights that way of wanting to get to all that pleasure that Hashem has intended for us and wanting to give Him the nachas of giving us all that pleasure. That has to be very, very firmly in place. before we move on to speak of more sublime levels. And we come back to what we said before. If a person spends his entire life just focusing on this, and this is what motivates him his entire life, he's lived a life of a very, he's reached a very, very high level. And he is head and shoulder above the rest, who are primarily just preoccupied with what's going on in front of them. A person who's able to live with the anticipation of the future is living at a very high level. This has to be the preface for any discussion. This has to be the premise for any discussion of higher levels of greater altruism. And it's also more than that. It's also more than that. As we're going to see soon, we're not talking about different tracks. We're not talking about coming from this place to a place of not enjoying and only doing it altruistically. The higher level, as we're going to see, the Chavis HaLevis describe, the higher level is actually an even more refined kind of pleasure. It's taking pleasure in the thrill of knowing that I am pleasing Hashem. That itself is a form of pleasure. It's a gratification. What I've heard from one of my rebbes is that there really is no such thing of a person living without any self-serving purpose. A person living completely without any intent to enjoy, with no pleasure. He said that understanding the koiches hanefesh, understanding the soul of a person, there really is no such thing. Hashem created the soul with a desire for pleasure. And when we talk about reaching higher levels, what we're talking about is refining the pleasure that you seek, refining what you enjoy. And the way he put it is that once a person is living completely without any desire for pleasure, without any pleasure, all we call that is depression. It's depression, and it's a person who's slowly waning. When we talk about the great people of old who did not require any pleasure in their life, or the great people of our time, what it means is that they didn't require the pleasures that we need. But they were so much enjoyed just the knowledge that they were connecting with Hashem, the knowledge that they were pleasing Hashem, the knowledge that Hashem was having nachas from them, and that they are in position to actually provide him with that nachas. This gave their life so much meaning, so much satisfaction, that yes, they were enjoying life. I don't think that you'll be able to identify a great person who lived without a joy of life, who lived without enjoying his life. The great people who fasted and barely ate anything, it's not the pshat that they knocked all joy out of their life. The understanding is that they refined their sense of pleasure. They moved it up and up and up until they were able to completely let go of material and physical pleasure, which again is not necessarily something that we should be thinking about in terms of our immediate goals. But these are people, this is what they did. They were constantly refining their sense of pleasure, and they were living their lives. It was just a life of ongoing ecstasy because of their sense of fulfillment, their sense of satisfaction, their sense of being able to bond with Hashem, their knowledge of the fact that Hashem is enjoying their performance, that they're providing Hashem with nachas. So yes, it is about pleasure. And we are created such that we're constantly striving for pleasure. But what the Chavis HaLevis is again telling us, we want to refine it. We want to move it into a place where it's not just about me, but my pleasure is in the fact that I'm pleasing Hashem. My pleasure is in the fact that I'm going closer to Him. So this has to be well understood. This has to be well understood. A, we're not undermining, and on the contrary, we are very much elevating and glorifying a life of aspiring for the pleasure that Hashem has in mind for us. And B, even when we talk about rising to the higher levels, what we're talking about is rising to a place where we derive our pleasure and satisfaction over the very fact that we know that I'm getting closer to Hashem, that Hashem is that much more pleased with me, that Hashem is enjoying my performance, that He's focused on me, and that He's getting nachas from me. We have a mashal to approach this from another angle. This is something we've said often. Maybe you've heard me say this in the past. But to approach it from another angle, the Mesilas Yesharim, to use the terms of the Mesilas Yesharim, he describes two types of yira. We're going to talk yira, fear, awe of Hashem. He describes two levels of yira. There's fear of punishment. Fear of punishment. And therefore, a person makes sure to do the right thing. Now, here also, if you look in the world of the Ramchal, he almost makes fun of it. He says, huh, there's nothing simpler than that. Who wants to get hurt? No, it's a cinch. There's nothing to that, to serving Hashem because you don't want to get punished. Now, again, we're going to come back and say that, you know what? A person who's capable of living beyond the here and now, a person who's capable of living beyond the senses and living with a belief and a fear of the punishment in Shemayim is indeed on a very great level. I don't know if I should say this or not. It's not really something that in our time we need to be thinking in these terms. But there was one of the greats of Europe who they say that at the end of Havdalah, every week, he would stick his hand into the Havdalah fire for a moment, just in order to get something of a burn, in order to just set himself up for the week with fear of Aveira. Now, again, this is not where we need to be focused now, but this is the concept of being able to live with fear of something that's not in the here and now. But here also, the Mesilas Yesharim takes us to the next level and says that there's something greater than that. There's something greater than what we're calling Yiras HaEinesh, and he calls it Yiras HaRemimus. If we'll try to use our terms for it, we call it awe versus fear. If fear of punishment is fear, so here we're talking about awe. It's coming from an appreciation of the presence that you're standing in front of. And this really ties in with the thrill. This is actually, this sort of yira is already not something negative. This is something that can actually be something thrilling. A thrilling experience ties in with the pleasure that we've been talking about now. The higher, more refined levels of pleasure. I'll give it a mashal like this. This is already not about fear. I'll say a mashal like this. Imagine if you have a singer who has been, or an actor, who's been practicing for months, for years, he's been training, and he's already performed in choirs, etc., but now he's really reaching a point where he's turning into, he's really headed for stardom. And the managers and directors, etc., the producers, they really have identified in him someone who's headed for international fame, and they're really working with him toward that. And they are working on training him toward his debut, his first really great debut in some very, very, very great theater, which holds 50,000 people, and he's going to make his debut. And he's practicing, and he's being trained and coached, etc. As the countdown toward the great day is coming, when he's actually going to step out in front of the curtain, in front of an audience of 50,000 people, and high-class people, people are paying a lot of money for their tickets because this is the next promising star on the horizon. And as the week of the concert approaches, his tension is building up, and he's practicing. He's also making sure to eat very well, to sleep well. And finally, the day arrives. And he's standing backstage. He's standing behind the curtain. And the crowd is settling into their seats. And his good friend is standing next to him. And he looks at him, and he sees that this star, he's pale. He's a bit shaky, right? You know, he sees sweat on his forehead. His palms are sweaty. And he looks at him and he says, "Oi, I see you look so nervous. I feel bad that you should feel this way. You know what? I think we could still cancel it. I think we could call it off. You don't look good to me." What is this artist going to tell him? He's going to tell him, "Sure, I'm shaking. Sure, you see me in a certain cold sweat. But are you kidding? This fear is the fear. It's the thrill of what's going to be the climax of my life. This is the greatest moment of my life. It's my appreciation of the immensity of the moment that's making me tremble. I'm not scared of anybody. No one's going to shoot me, right? No one's going to throw anything at me. That's not why I'm shaking now. It's the thrill of the greatest moment of my life. This is the Yiras HaRoimimus that the Ramchal is describing. When a person steps out, so to speak, to perform before Hashem, knows that Hashem is focused on him and wants to see his performance, and he has appreciation of the fact that, you know what, an audience of Hashem Kiviyochel is something so much more immense than 50,000 human spectators. You know what? You always have more than 50,000 spectators. You know how many germs there are around you watching you? It doesn't mean anything to you. What means something to you is the human beings that are in your presence, even though they are far, far, far outnumbered by the germs and bacteria that are around you. When a person is performing before Hashem and really appreciates what that means, that the Creator of the entire universe is right now more interested in watching him perform, watching you perform, than he is in the hundreds and thousands of malachim that are surrounding him right now. And more interested in that than all of the big world events that are going on right now. And you appreciate that. And you really focus on that. This can actually provide a certain thrill, even a certain trepidation, but a thrilling trepidation over the fact that I have Hashem's attention right now. He's focused on me. He's focused on me exclusively now. Even though he has a million other children that he's watching in the same way, not a contradiction by him. His full focus is on me right now. And this is Yiras HaRoimimus. This is the awe that we're talking about. A person who feels this, if a person really senses this, the thing is that we live this way 24/7. But to appreciate the magnitude of this is to really appreciate the thrill and the immensity of what it means to serve Hashem, what it means to be able to do a single mitzvah, what it means to be able to make a bracha, to say Shema, to daven, to do a chesed, to care for one of Hashem's children that he put into your hands, whether it's a spouse, a sibling, a child, a grandchild. This is thrill. This can be altruistic thrill because of your very, very great connection to Hashem, but this is thrill and this is pleasure. So as we're going to be moving into the discussion of rising above the motivation of fear and punishment, what we're really talking about is refining that into even greater pleasures, greater sources of fulfillment and satisfaction that can come from a real relationship with Hashem. But we come back to the point that we began with. It starts with the understanding. Take your sense of pleasure now. Take your sense of what you feel is joy right now. And just think in those terms. Focus on the fact that Hashem, what Hashem has waiting for you, is something that tops all that, that he knows, he's already demonstrated to you in your physical life that he is very, very capable of hitting your palate exactly, of getting your taste exactly, and providing you with pleasure that is very unique to you. He's already established his track record, and that he is telling you what I have waiting for you if you dedicate yourself to me, if you do my mitzvahs, is something unimaginably greater than anything you've experienced. This is the premise. Before we start talking about higher things, we have to realize that this itself is something very, very high, something very, very elevated, something that Hashem is going to get a lot of pleasure from seeing you anticipate, and then ultimately from seeing you enjoy it. Focus on this. Move into this mode. And then we can go on to contrasting this to even greater levels that we have the opportunity to reach. Okay, we will end with this for this week. We'll end the recording and then we'll unmute and part.